This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined by Craig Burley and Ali Moreno. Another brilliant day of Champions League action. We'll kick things off at the Montjuic. Barcelona taking on PSG. Barca with a 3-2 lead going into this second leg, and it would get even better early on with Rafinha extending that advantage. But then a big moment. Araujo given a straight red card, and that then changes the complexion of the whole game. That would see Dembele score against his old side again. Vitinha finding the back of the net, and two from Kylian Mbappe would see PSG advance 6-4 on aggregate. For more on this, from a Barcelona perspective, let's welcome in Luis Garcia. But we got to start with a man who is outside Montjuic, because goodness knows how long this shot is going to last. Jules, for the first time in a long time in the Champions League, PSG have something to smile about.
That's right, Dan. Never ever before they turned around the tie after losing the first leg and winning in the second leg. They did it tonight. It was an incredible night, really. Of course, the red card is the turnaround. There's no doubt about that. I don't think Araujo needs to make that foul, really. But after that, I mean, still the control to find a spare man every time, to create those chances, to concede some chances as well. I mean, with this PSG team, it's never really straightforward, even 11 against 10. But I feel in the end, they deserve that. Just a bit of luck this time after all those remontadas, all those demons from 2017 and then 2019 and all the others. It feels like all those demons have been buried tonight.
Ah, look, Jules, his big smug face in everybody's face. Who've laughed at PSG
have you noticed he can't get the shot any closer to his face?
No, I know, most definitely. Xavi's not happy. He said the referee ruined the game. That red card was never a red card.
No. The referee did not ruin the game. The referee did not ruin the game. PSG come out, guns blazing. Barca were all over the place early on. Obviously, the goal, which Rafinha has been credited with because it comes off and was against the run of play, as Ali mentioned. But no, this would look. There are people who will be saying, well, there's not enough contact. But when you're running at the pace they're running at and you get ahead of the defender, Brent, it's not your job as the forward to get out of the way. There's contact. I think, and don't forget, when you're pulling on a shoulder or got an arm, that can continue into the box. So it's at the referee's discretion whether he gives it where it started or whether he gives it where it ends. Because once the hand's on the shoulder, that, or once you're pulling somebody back, that can continue. And I think from a Barcelona sense, I think the preference would have been, once he's made this challenge, and it is a foul, is the penalty and Ronald Araujo staying on the field because of the double jeopardy. But the referee made a decision that it was, what, a foot outside?
Yeah.
Then he's got to send him off. And that, as Joe said, practically changes the game. That being said, I get the feeling PSG were going to be the better side. Whether they would have won or not, I don't know.
I've got to go to you, Luis. Red card?
Yes, unfortunately, it is a red card. Bad decision from Araujo that I think that I wasn't expecting that change of pace of Barcola, but I have to say that, yeah, it's a red card. It's a fault. The referee decided to call it, and once you call it, you know that you have to send him off. So it's a pity, because I agree with Xavi that this makes a massive change for this tie, but I don't agree with the referees, because I think the referee did a good call.
In the end, PSG deserving the win?
Yeah, and I must say, before the Barcelona goal, which was an individual play from Lamine Yamal, there hasn't been a whole lot of Barcelona. In fact, there hadn't been anything from Barcelona. Now, they run into a goal, and then beyond that, what you were expecting is, well, Barcelona is just going to continue to defend because they hadn't created anything offensively. But it has been the story of Barcelona, certainly in the earlier part of the season, that their defensive mistakes are the ones that, in the end, punish them and damage their chances. It damaged and killed their chances in La Liga, and it damaged and killed their chances today in Champions League. And what a chance they had. What a chance they had to go straight to the final because of the opposition and this side of the bracket. You go up 1-0 and you cannot afford to make this mistake if you're Ronald Araujo. But Ronald Araujo has been making this mistake throughout the course of the season. Jules Koundé has been making mistakes throughout the course of the season. They cleaned that up over the last month or so, and everybody's thinking, that's it, Barcelona getting better. Well, yeah, I suppose so. But those mistakes show up in the worst time possible. And yeah, Lamine Yamal, outstanding play. They go up 1-0 and you're thinking, well, I guess it's going to be a Barcelona sort of night. But you make a critical mistake, and let's not forget that the sequence of play in which Ronald Araujo ends up taking down Barcola starts with Ronald Araujo turning the ball over, which then puts them in a situation in which he doesn't have the right angle to go and make the challenge. And as Barcola turns the corner, now Araujo is struggling. Now he's panicking, and in panicking, you make a challenge that you shouldn't make. It turns around. It is indeed, obviously, the guys have said it already, is the turning point of this match. But the game was leaning in that direction anyways because PSG had been significantly better than Barcelona.
Why? Why were they significantly better in this game than they were in the first leg, Jules? What changed?
Well, I think tactically, Luis Enrique this time got it right, and he's probably the strongest team that he can put on the field with Barcola and Dembele, even Mbappe central. I thought Fabian Ruiz had a really good game. Zaire Emery, we've talked about him a lot, and Vitinha was outstanding. I thought, and defensively, Marquinhos and Lucas Hernandez, Marquinhos especially, was really strong against Lewandowski, which was not the case a week ago. I think that's the first thing. The second thing, and again, I think the credit goes to Luis Enrique in the sense that from straight after the first leg, in the dressing room, we said to the players, don't worry, we will do it over there next week. We will qualify. We will make history because for the first time, we will be able to turn the tie around. And I think through the whole week, he kind of transmitted the calmness, the confidence, the positivity when really you were down after losing that first leg 3-2 at the Parc des Princes. And I think he deserves a lot of credit tactically, but also mentally, the way he prepared these players.
It seems news of Barcelona and Xavi's resurrection is a little bit...
Well, yes, obviously the talk about it going into
a little bit early.
Joan Laporte saying, look, we're going to have a conversation, see what's going to happen, but I think...
Well, that's just him, isn't it, running his mouth again, isn't it?
Well, he's not saying it now.
Well, exactly.
Now he's put the old wanted ad back in the paper.
Actually, Luis and I talked about this at the weekend, that you know, Xavi's made his decision. You know, this is how it would be folly to go back, because if they, you know... 2 months into the season, results maybe are not great again, and you're revisiting the same scenario. So I don't think it was ever, as we discussed at the weekend, ever really in doubt that Barcelona need to go in a different direction, and he needs to do his own thing, maybe away from Barcelona, take a break, and that'll be better for him. But you know, from the PSG perspective, you know, if you'd have said, you know, we're going to talk about Dortmund and their game, but if you'd have said PSG and Dortmund are in the semi-finals at the start of this season, I don't think there's many of us would have sat here and went, yeah, I can see that happening. Well, certainly not a couple of months into the season. But from PSG's perspective, you can only do what you do to get there. But the real test is going to be ahead for them when they meet one of the real big boys, whoever it is, isn't it? Because, I mean, this Barcelona side has been better recently, but that was from a standard where they were losing, shipping goals even at this Montjuic Stadium, left, right and centre, to some of the weaker teams in La Liga. And they managed to stifle that a little bit, but not in this case here when they come up against a better side.
What's interesting, Jules, when we were talking about this tie, looking ahead when the draw was made, everything was about Kylian Mbappe. And despite the fact he got 2 goals today, this victory hasn't been about Mbappe, has it?
No, not really, although, of course, the penalty, and I think, trust me, in the stadium, you need a lot of composure to score that penalty. And he scored many before, including in the World Cup final, but still, it was a key moment. His second goal is at the end, a counter-attack. But what I love the most, maybe, about the last goal is that it's him in the box, tackling the ball ahead of Firmin, I think he was on the Gundogan cross, to then start the counter-attack, and then he's at the beginning there, but in a way, denying Barcelona with a chance. You see the tackle there, that's him, that's Mbappe. And then he's at the other end, once Hakimi and Colomwani, who's also centrally next to him, start and conclude the counter-attack, really. And I just love the fact that he was there in his own box, first of all, and then to finish it here. And it's an easy finish for him. There's no doubt Koundé makes a mess of it. But I just love the fact that he was involved so much until the last minute, even in his own box, after the Asensio volley there. And he finishes it. And yeah, he was quite calm through the whole week. And the people around him were saying, don't worry, he will be there. He will deliver in a way. And he did he did deliver with the two goals. Overall, apart from that, I don't think there was still enough from him. Kubasi and then Inigo Martinez did okay. I just think he was there just when the team needed him the most.
Luis, what disappointed you the most from Barcelona today?
No, actually, I wasn't disappointed with Barcelona. I mean, the result is not the best one. And, of course, not going to the semi-final is a big and frustrating disappointment. But I think Barcelona did what they have to do. I mean, Barcelona was not dominated. It was Paris Saint-Germain, the one who was dominated, but was creating chances, was waiting to try to get Paris Saint-Germain out of guard, using the wide areas, with Rafinha making diagonals into the middle, with Lewandowski trying to provide what he provided in the first leg. Lamine Yamal made a fantastic chance, but after 31 minutes with that send-off, with that red card, everything changed, and then you play. And actually, I'm going to tell you something. I liked it more, Barcelona, in the second half. They were playing with 10 men. They were trying, they were more proactive, they were pressing a little bit higher on the field to try, because they was needed that goal to get the equalizer. I liked it, that Barcelona more than the one that I saw in the first 45. But in the end, I think it was a pity that we couldn't see a 11-v-11 situation the whole game. I think it was very close. I totally agree with the guys that Paris Saint-Germain was a little bit more confident on the way that they were playing, and Barcelona was waiting to be open up and see if on a contest that they could hurt Paris Saint-Germain. But in the end, I think the Barcelona did a good game after all.
Can I just tell you that the red card, while it's obvious that, okay, you're playing a man down and it's Ronald Araujo that you're missing out on and you have to make a substitution,
was it right to be Lamine Yamal?
And that's what I was about to say, that you're also losing Lamine Yamal, who, in my estimation, is their best player in the attack, their most dangerous player. And if you're going to go on the counter, I prefer having Lamine Yamal on the ball than Rafinha. I prefer having Robert Lewandowski. I prefer having Lamine Yamal instead of Robert Lewandowski on the counter. Now, obviously, Lewandowski is not coming out because he may somehow run into a goal, and it's something that you needed to have on the field. But when it comes down to it, who's your most dangerous player in a counterattack opportunity? I still think it's Lamine Yamal. Now, it becomes an easy choice for a manager to say, well, I'm going to take the teenager out.
Right.
In this moment, in this stage, playing a man down, of course, we're going to need the work rate of Rafinha. But how are you going to create an opportunity if indeed you need to do so? How are you going to create a chance? Who gives you the best chance to do that on the counterattack in a moment of transition? You look at Barcelona's personnel. Lamine Yamal is that guy. He's been that guy for you the whole season. So to take him off, now you're essentially renouncing to any possibility of getting out on the counter, of getting out in transition. And eventually, when you needed to score a goal, you didn't have an option to go in those moment of transitions. You didn't have an option to go on the counter. You didn't have an outlet. You didn't have a player that can actually beat somebody in a 1v1 situation as he did for the goal. Look, it seems like it's revisionist history here, but I was saying as it was happening, I don't know that I take Lamine Yamal because he is my best attacking player.
I think if it had been if Lewandowski had been unavailable and had been, you know, one of the younger players playing through the middle, I think they would have been probably the scapegoat
right
for the red card. But it's Lewandowski, and I'm not saying that's right. I'm saying you got to think as the manager is thinking. He might get me a goal. He was pretty good in the first leg, you know, his hold up play and his passing and all that sort of stuff. But then you're taking off a guy, you got two wide players, one who was banging the goals in both games in Rafinha, and the other one who just roasted the fullback for your opening goal, for Rafinha's goal in this game. And also, when you go down to 10 men, what happens when you get in the second half? You get tired, okay, and then you can make substitutes. Of course you can, but the youngsters, particularly in the wider areas, can work harder. They can work longer and they can work harder. And in hindsight, stopping the fullbacks getting forward with the two wider players and letting the centre-halves have it might have been a better option for him. But again, we're talking about he's going to have to take Lewandowski off and not one of the younger players. And for any manager, that's a big decision.
The irony, meanwhile, Luis, of you defending Dembele so much during his time at Barcelona, he then goes to PSG and proves you right at exactly the wrong time.
And that's the way he pays me off. That's life, that's football. And actually, Dembele was actually very quiet. I think he was clumsy at some points in the first 15, 20 minutes, but he's one of those players when Listen, something that I'm really impressed with Dembele in the chances that we have seen him this season is that for Barcelona, he's a player who was tied to the sideline. He was every single time playing very wide and very open to try to play from the wide areas into diagonals, beating players on speed. But with Luis Enrique, he has found a different position for Dembele. If you see, he's more often into the box. In the first leg, he was right there into the box to get the first goal. And in this occasion, exactly the same. And he's even being played as a second striker. That's a totally different Ousmane Dembele that we had, the one that we had in Barcelona. So Luis Enrique kind of gave it another opportunity in a different position, closer to the box, closer to where he is more dangerous, on because he can go to one side or the other side with the right or with the right or with the left, and because his ability to arrive in those kind of positions. So I think that I was impressed because of that, not because of his game, because again he wasn't the best game today, but another goal and another goal against Barcelona. So yeah, not the best night for Barcelona and the history with Dembele.
But he shouldn't even be scoring that goal. Mm. You watch that clip. Who's sleeping at the back post again? Cancelo, mm-hmm. Right? He's not
Cancelo.
Even. Yeah, he's not even looking. You got Dembele behind you, and he's facing the ball.
Yeah.
He's got no thought of turning to the side where he can see him. You watch him. Watch Cancelo at the back post, right? Well, he's walking. He doesn't look. And then all of a sudden, bang! He has to make a decision. Two of the best fullbacks at going forward in world football are João Cancelo, because there's no doubt this guy is a terrific player on the ball, and Trent Alexander-Arnold. And when it comes to defending scenarios like back posts and wide players and positioning, they're two of the worst. And I'm not bringing Alexander-Arnold in for any reason because Liverpool are not playing. But they're two guys that are super talented going forward, but they're a headache at the back. And I think I talked about it in the first leg. PSG missed a trick by not targeting him. He made at least two mistakes tonight. The challenge for the penalty was ridiculous. He was never going to win the ball. Dembele was going away from goal. Didn't have to make it. And then it's a very, very small thing at the back post. But if he's in the right position and his head's on swivel, he probably knocks it out for a corner. He's none of those things, and they get a goal.
And part of defending in this sort of moments is anticipating the potential mistake that could happen at the near post. If you're a defender and you have defensive instincts, what do you do? Say, look, I got to put myself in a position in which if that ball goes through the near post and now goes onto the far post, I can clear it. What you see from him is the slow jog initially, the lack of awareness, lack of anticipation or instinct to read the situation and say, you know what, if I take not one, just a couple of steps. Just a couple of steps and put myself in a position in which I can attack the ball instead of having to react once the cross has gone by. That lack of anticipation allows Dembele to go and score. And let me just give a shout-out to Bradley Barcola as well. A guy who, look, coming into the season, he would not have been, I don't think would have been in the plans of Luis Enrique. You think of Colomwani, you think of Mbappe, Ousmane Dembele. How are those three going to play together? This guy came at halftime and changed the game in the first leg. Today, from the start, every time he touched the ball, he's going at defenders. And what do you want from a wide player if you are a manager, if you're Luis Enrique? Yeah, you want that level of aggression, 1v1 situation. I'm taking a defender, I'm creating problems, sometimes making the wrong decision, but at the very least, you see a guy that is going to create problems in those 1v1 matchups, and he did that today over and over again.
How tired is your arm, Jules? You all right?
That tire.
Oh,
here you go.
I think he just.
Fair enough. Look, you're standing outside Barcelona that.
No, I'm. No.
22 minutes,
no.
And you bang on.
No, that's dereliction of duty.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, coming from you, Bernie.
Sorry. Get him back.
Just a reminder. Meanwhile, Barcelona will be looking to bounce back this weekend as they are looking to keep their title hopes alive as they take on Real Madrid. In El Clasico, that game will be live on ESPN Plus. Our coverage.
How do you do that?
Do what?
Press somebody in the go off.
You got excited.
That's it. That's what happens. Our coverage starts at 3 p.m. Eastern. Be sure to join us ahead of that big game at the Santiago Bernabeu. Jules, hopefully, in theory, will return on the latest edition of the Gavin Jules podcast, which will be available on Thursday. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate
isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Quite the spectacle in Germany. Borussia Dortmund taking on Atletico Madrid. Simeone's side, of course, with a 2-1 lead going into that second leg. But they'd find themselves 2-0 down at half-time. Hummels, though, with the own goal, would see Atleti once again get the advantage. Correa coming off the bench to score as well would give the visitors much hope. But a brilliant header from Füllkrug. And then Sabitzer with the goal that would be seeing Borussia Dortmund win 4-2 on the night. 5-4 on aggregate and advancing to the semi-final to face PSG. Lucy, welcome in Luis Garcia. And the one man who had belief that Borussia Dortmund could do it, could turn things around after that first leg defeat. We accused him of bias, of just supporting German teams, but no, Jürgen Klinsmann knows best. Jürgen, what a night in Dortmund that was.
It was a special night in Dortmund. It was unbelievable to watch this game. Obviously, it started furious. You know, after 3-4 minutes, it could have been 1-1 already. Sabitzer had a big chance. Then Morata had the other one. It could have been 1-1 already after 5 minutes, basically. Then Dortmund really got into a rhythm and scored the first two goals, which I agree with. The goalkeeper didn't look so well in both of those goals. Then Atletico Madrid came back second half. Correa made a difference. Correa came on and they equalized then. But I had the feeling from the beginning on that the players from Borussia Dortmund, they were ready for that fight. They were committed. They were committed to go through into the next round. You could see the body language. You felt the energy. There was great leadership of some of the players, like Emre Can. He played in front of Hummels and Schlotterberg. He played a fantastic game. Sabitzer got better and better the longer the game went on. And when you look at the third goal, when you look at that goal from Füllkrug, just fantastic. The fantastic run that he makes, you know, he loses his defender, he goes in front of him then and scores that header. And then the stadium, obviously, you know, gets out of control. 80,000 fans, they sang, that was loud, it was a fantastic atmosphere. Then they made another goal and they go into the next round. And this is what it is all about. Champions League in March, April is crunch time. And you as a manager, as a coach, you have to hope that your big players really step it up. And this happened today with Borussia Dortmund. Hummels stepped it up. Even if he had their own goal, he was always positive. He was always encouraging his teammates. Emre Can was the leader there from behind. They believed in it. And they knew that it's going to be very, very tough against this feisty Atletico Madrid team. But they made it happen. And I think they really deserve to go through into the semis now.
I much prefer watching this version of Atletico Madrid than the old one a few years ago. This game was crazy.
Well, Dortmund drink a different juice in this competition to the Bundesliga, don't they?
Yeah.
I think they topped their group, didn't they?
They drink zero juice in the Bundesliga.
They dropped, of course, with Newcastle, with Milan and PSG.
Yeah, they come. I mean, straight away, and that you thought, right, they are superseding their domestic form in this competition. But still, again, if you'd have said semi-final of the Champions League, no, I didn't. I could not see that. You know, they got Mattson on loan from Chelsea. He was on loan at Burnley. Not wanted, not deemed good enough to play at Stamford Bridge. You got Sancho, you know, surplus requirements at Man United, potential attitude problem, conflict with Ten Hag, feels more comfortable there. You know, and Phil Craig's goal was Ali Mendes. That was an absolute, you know, you talk about a striker's goal. Early ball, you know, ball in the box, gets across his defender. Terrific, just absolutely terrific. But do you remember we used to say nobody wants to play at Leti? Nobody's saying that now because I talked about this the other day. They're not keep. I think the last time they kept a clean sheet was around February time. They're just not keeping this dire dull Atleti is just not keeping clean sheets. Even at the weekend against Girona, lost a goal. You know, should have lost two when they should have had a penalty against them, won the game. But they're just not solid at the back. And that's a problem. And in some sense, they were even lucky to be in this position that they're in. Because if you remember the game in the San Siro against Inter, the only reason the second leg was achievable was because Inter Milan were so wasteful in the final third. Otherwise, you know, Atleti would have been out. So the warning signs were there and have been for a while. But Dortmund took advantage of it. Inter will be kicking themselves because that game should have been 3 or 4-0 easily in the San Siro. It wasn't, and they allowed Atleti back in. But I did say this for Dortmund. The way that the ties worked out was much more beneficial for them. The fact that they go back to Dortmund in the second leg rather than having to go to the Metropolitana. That worked out really well for them, but they took advantage of it.
Jürgen, just explain how you can have a team that's 23 points off Bayer Leverkusen at the top of the table in the Bundesliga that can go through a group, as Craig mentioned, that included Milan, PSG and Newcastle, can now beat Atletico Madrid and can now be in the semi-finals of the Champions League. How can their form be so different within these two competitions?
Yeah, it's really hugely difficult to keep the same form in all competitions, in a normal championship, in your cup competition, in a domestic one, and obviously in the European leagues. And this makes a huge, a big team, obviously, at the end of the day. And Dortmund struggled with that. The whole season is struggled with that, to have consistency in the Bundesliga, in the German Cup. But for whatever reason, they stayed on a good track in the Champions League, and they kicked out big names. They're capable to make miracles happen, especially at their home stadium, because it's just rocking. When you play in that stadium, you play literally with a man more, because these people, they push you. When Correa scored the equalizer, it was quiet for about a minute and a half, and then suddenly you heard 80,000 people screaming for Dortmund, pushing them forward, giving them belief, and they started to run, they started to fight, and they started to believe in it again, and they turned it around. And this is, it is inconsistent what happens throughout the season with Borussia Dortmund, but on the other side, it's gorgeous to see. It's really fun to watch, and this is possible, that it's doable, to be in the semi-final of the Champions League, even if you had a bad domestic season.
What's funny, Ali, as well, is that every time they cut to Edin Terzic on the touchline, like, oh, he's still in the job.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you feel like he's been sacked 4 or 5 times already this season.
And he had been hanging on. And the reason he had been hanging on is because of the success in Champions League. Because the struggles for Borussia Dortmund in Bundesliga, you just mentioned in the numbers, they have been inconsistent, is a nice way to put it. There's been times in which Borussia Dortmund have just been awful in Bundesliga. And the defending of Nico Schlotterbeck and Mats Hummels has been awful. And when I say awful, I mean awful. And then you watch them in Champions League and you go, wait. That's the same team from the weekend? And it isn't. And the level of energy with which they play today is different than what we see from them in the weekends in Bundesliga. It is. That's just factual. It's not even opinion. You just watch them play, and they're two different versions of Borussia Dortmund. And I'll go back to the second half of the first leg. and how much of a reaction there was from Borussia Dortmund away from home.
They were 2-0 down.
Yeah, and it felt like it was all Atletico Madrid. But in that second half of the first leg, you saw a much better version of Borussia Dortmund. I'll use a word that Jurgen loves. Much more proactive. Attacking Atletico Madrid. Getting after Atletico Madrid. And to the point that Craig was making earlier, when you attack Atletico Madrid, you're going to score goals because this team is not nearly as well structured as they once were, not nearly as organized, and to use Jurgen's description, not nearly as feisty as they once were. Part of that is the fact that I just don't think they have enough intensity or energy through the midfield. The legs are not there. Watching Koke trying to defend is painful. Watching Rodrigo De Paul trying to defend while you admire the way that he throws his body around is painful once you have guys that have speed and that can run off the shoulder of Koke, that can run off the shoulder of Rodrigo De Paul. And you see Savitzer getting into the box and nobody trailing his runs. And where are the trailing midfielders? Where are the defensive midfielders for Atletico Madrid? They're not there. And then you're saying, okay, well, you know what? We have defenders that can take care of those runners. Well, no, because Witzel is not a center back. He happens to be playing in that position now because he can't get around in the midfield any longer. And so he's much better when he can just read the game and step into pressure. But when you run by him, he can't stay with you. And that's been happening time and time and time and time again for Atletico Madrid. Borussia Dortmund have exposed that over the course of two legs.
If anything's going to send Simeone back into his defensive strategy, it's this season.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to say, you can imagine him sitting down with the Atleti board and going, listen, everybody wanted this open football. I've given it to you and we're, you know, it's not really, yeah. It's given us nothing. And I just feel that, you know, since they've got away from that, if you watch the Liga, they've been really exciting. I say exciting. They've been really good to watch at times.
Yes.
Very attacking,
yep.
Very open, but it's as poor defensively as I've seen them in a long time. Being open, Simeone's team's being open does not suit his style.
What a week you've had, eh, Luis? Liverpool rubbish, Barcelona out, Atleti now joining that club.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been a pleasure tonight to talk about Barcelona departure and now Atletico in Madrid. But listen, guys, you're talking about an Atletico Madrid that is not the one that we used to watch because before they were so solid at the back, they were well organized. They never kind of give away any chances during the games, and now they are vulnerable. But to be honest, when I saw today, once again, Azpilicueta playing as a left wing back, I thought, yes, they're going to see it on the back. And when you play against a team that is so dynamic and with that energy on the wide flanks that they can play with Adeyemi and Sancho and Vitesse in the second half, speed players, players arriving in the second line, you're going to struggle. You cannot defend for 90 minutes against a team that has got that fantastic dynamism. But you cannot defend during 90 minutes with the players who are moving all around the places, floating and changing position and arriving in different direction. That is not possible. When the first 45 minutes stopped and then Atletico de Madrid was already losing 2-0, what happened? Riquelme, Correa, and Barrios. Three players who are dynamic, energy, and can run. And what happened with Atletico Madrid? Totally different. They start attacking, they start creating. Why Atletico Madrid, when they are in a moment of that they have to defend, instead of defending, going forward, instead of defending, attacking the opponent and making them problems, they decided to sit at the back and wait to see what happened, because this is not the first time it happens. We've seen this last year and the year before and the year before. That's something that I don't understand. Why arriving to this point where Atletico Madrid, we are talking that they are good going forward, but they decided to sit at the back and wait to see those transitions, quick transitions. I prefer an Atletico Madrid that go forward, goes open, and see what will happen.
And if you're going to sit back, if indeed that's the approach that you're going to take, that's because you have the players to do so.
Right.
Because you got Godin playing center back, right? You have that personality. You have a team that is willing to do exactly that job. Look, we're going to break things up. We're going to break up the rhythm. We're going to defend, and we're comfortable. We live for this moment. That's not the personality of this version of Atletico Madrid, and it hasn't been for a while. This is not just today. It hasn't been for a while. Craig just made the point that defensively they've struggled throughout the course of the season. That goes back to even last year and the year before then. This is a team that has been stuck in between in this transition of, are we really defending or are we attacking or are we open? And they're neither here nor there. And when you're in between, you get exposed. They got exposed today.
So Atletico Madrid out. They will take on then PSG, Borussia Dortmund in the semi-final. The teams, of course, met in the group stages. That ended with PSG winning at home. It was a 1-1 draw, meanwhile, in Germany. These are the odds to win the Champions League overall. Borussia Dortmund, very much the outsiders at 10-1. And Jürgen, I imagine, given what we've seen over this season, Borussia Dortmund will be more than happy to play that underdog tag.
Absolutely. Why not? I mean, obviously, they had their struggles in the Bundesliga throughout the year, but they had their high moments in the Champions League. And with this win tonight, it just gives you so much energy. It gives you so much enthusiasm and belief to be, even if you're the outsider, you know, the underdog, you go in there and you give it a go, you give it a fight. And you can see that there grew a little bit of chemistry together the last couple of weeks in that team. You know, Sabitzer is getting stronger and stronger. Sancho is coming more and more towards the level that he had before. You know, Adeyemi is a talent that can always make a difference. And with Füllkrug, you have a number nine that is dangerous up front. The leadership of Can and of Hummels is working. And why not? You know, you give it a go. And I will look forward to the semifinals, hopefully with another German team in the semifinal that we see tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, indeed. We'll talk about that in a moment. Luis, is it just anyone but Real Madrid for you now?
Yes, I guess that we have to support tomorrow Real Madrid, even though that it hurts a little bit. And I think that Manchester City is still favorite. Real Madrid is unpredictable. You know that when they play this competition, anything can happen with them.
PSG to win it all?
No, I still don't see that. I mean, again, this is a good side of the draw for them, although I think Dortmund will be saying the same thing, but bearing in mind they're there. Yeah. I think they are gettable, PSG, for sure. For Dortmund, but we'll see. I mean, a bad version of Dortmund will get... Dortmund, that can decide that they cannot play anything but at the top of the game, or they'll get knocked out. But in this competition, they've been pretty much at the top of the game. The other side of the draw, I think you're still looking at the winners.
Right.
In terms of on paper. Depending on what happens tomorrow, I think City are still the strongest. Then we're looking at Arsenal and Bayern. Who the hell really knows what's going to happen there? Obviously, Arsenal lost at the weekend. You know, Bayern, the title has gone for them. They had a great result at the Emirates, but I still think the winner is coming from that side of the draw.
Just a reminder then, a big weekend in La Liga sees Real Madrid take on Barcelona at the Santiago Bernabeu. Oh, how well that could go for you, Luis. That is the late game. Our coverage is on ESPN Plus at 2 p.m. Eastern. And just a reminder, plenty of reaction on what's going on in the Champions League and indeed beyond over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to go to ESPN FC and subscribe.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Right then, two more Champions League matches to come for you on Wednesday. In England, Manchester City taking on Real Madrid. 3-3, of course, the scoreline going into that second leg after that brilliant 90 minutes in the Spanish capital. Manchester City, though, are favourites. Do our pundits agree with the bookies that indeed it will be the defending champions going through to the final four? Everyone but Mario and Jürgen. And I suppose, Jürgen, given that you got the two results right today, we should maybe listen to you a little more acutely this time round as to why Real Madrid will advance.
Yeah, I think so too. You should listen a bit more to me.
What?
You sound like really, Mrs. Thomas.
I think really this game tomorrow night could go all the way to the penalty shootout in Manchester.
And why do you say that, Ewan?
No, because it's two fantastic teams, obviously going 50-50 at each other, and anything is possible. Any team can win that battle. But I feel it's going to go down to the very last moment, and there might be a penalty shootout.
Yeah, you say anything is possible. I don't think a 0-0 draw is possible with these two teams.
That is possible.
Well, yes, but not quite as possible as something more entertaining. You know? Nah. This is going to be great, isn't it?
Should be.
Calm down.
Well, it's 24 hours away.
You're building up to it.
What do you want me to set off pyrotechnics in the studio?
Yeah, that'd be
because
good.
Because of the Champions League tomorrow. Jesus, God, man.
Oh, I'm excited.
God, punter. Punter land. I wouldn't be surprised if... I've got Man City to win. I've got it 5 goals. Who the hell knows what's going to happen? But I wouldn't be surprised if Man City have to dig themselves out of a hole tomorrow. Attacking,
right.
Possession, getting a punch in the nose with Rodrigo and Vinicius on the counter-attack, finding themselves behind and having to react. That would not surprise me. I mean, I think they were so dangerous in the Bernabeu, Real Madrid, that it could happen again. I just feel that Man City were not... Even though they won the game and what was the score in
Spain? 3-3. Yeah.
3-3. Even though there's been so
much. Valverde scored, remember? Like,
yeah, yeah, there's been so much happened. Yep. Even though it was that result over there, I get the feeling City were not at their best to me.
Right.
Foden scored a great goal. I didn't think he had a great game, and he's been playing great. Rodri wasn't quite at his best. Then talked about having a rest, which he got at the weekend. So maybe we'll see a slightly better version of City. Maybe. With Haaland maybe getting a bit more out of the back line and a bit more supply than he did. Can we see a better version of Real Madrid away from home? That's the big question.
It was, of course, a blowout, wasn't it, last year to City, to see them knock Real Madrid out, get revenge on what happened the year before. Mm. Could we see something similar?
If Manchester City play at their best, I still think that they're better than Real Madrid. And we have to look beyond the history of Real Madrid in Champions League, and we have to look beyond Santiago Bernabeu, because it's not a Santiago Bernabeu. And so we can't lean on that and think that's enough for Real Madrid. And so why do I think Manchester City are better than Real Madrid? Well, I just look at the structure of Manchester City through the midfield and how many challenges and issues they can create from Real Madrid in terms of matchups or lack thereof as Real Madrid tries to set up defensively. If Manchester City are moving that ball with the sort of rhythm that we're used to, and you get Erling Haaland involved inside the 18-yard box, and you provide him with runs in behind and service in behind, and you turn Real Madrid around, now you're going to force guys like Toni Kroos to have to be able to cover two and three guys at a time that are rotating in and out of his space. And it's not what he does best. He's a guy that likes to have control of the ball, that likes to knock the ball around, that likes to control the rhythm of the game. If Real Madrid don't control the rhythm of the game and it's all about Manchester City, and Manchester City have quality of possession, then they should be the favorites. The problem for Manchester City is that even when they have been at what we consider to be their best, they're still vulnerable to turning the ball over in a bad area. And if you do that, now you have guys that can really hurt you. And it's Vinicius and it's Rodrigo. And more importantly, I think a guy who becomes critical tomorrow is Jude Bellingham. Because if you turn the ball over in a bad area and he can drive with the ball, now center backs have to address his run. And now Vinny's in a 1v1 situation. Rodrigo's in a 1v1 situation. If Bellingham is able to then get on the end of one of those turnovers, and maybe now he becomes more of a presence in the attack, then of course Real Madrid have a chance. It should be Manchester City advancing, but Real Madrid is a very dangerous, dangerous team.
How do they win this game, Real Madrid, Luis?
By using the counter-attack that they love to do. I mean, the only way that I see this Real Madrid winning tomorrow is managing to get the ball away from Manchester City as much as possible, something that is tricky when you play away. But we saw a different system with in the first leg with Ancelotti, with Rodrigo lying a little bit to the left side and Vinicius Junior a little bit more into the center. We might see once again that, but the most important players are going to be those three, Jude Bellingham, Vinicius Junior and Rodrigo. As soon as Real Madrid can have the chance of recovering the ball in a good position, try to beat the ball to those spaces. Tomorrow, let's don't forget, Walker is going to be back into the Manchester City team. De Bruyne is going to be involved into the 11 starter probably. So it's a totally different Manchester City, the one that we saw in the first leg. So for Real Madrid, not many changes. The only thing that they can be dangerous is with those quick transitions with Rodrigo and Vinicius Junior.
A big weekend, of course, for both the sides. Real Madrid taking on Barcelona in El Clásico. Meanwhile, for Manchester City, it's the semi-final of the FA Cup. They take on Chelsea at Wembley. It's a game you can see live here on ESPN Plus on the Saturday. Then on the Sunday, we're back at Wembley to see Coventry take on Manchester United. Now, how the first leg has changed the narrative around this tie. Bayern Munich taking on Arsenal. Arsenal were the favourites going into the start of that first leg in London. However, a 2-2 draw has turned things slightly on its head. You take a look at the predictions. Concerning for Craig, he and Stevie are the only ones that believe indeed that Arsenal will get through. Everyone else has changed their minds to Bayern, with the exception of Jürgen, who I think I said, Bayern. At the start, Jürgen, how did Bayern not muck this up? Because they do have the momentum, don't they, after the first leg?
They kind of have the momentum. Obviously, Arsenal plays a brilliant season as well and has every quality out there to harm you, to make it really, really difficult for you. But I think, you know, in this specific moment in time right now, that is Bayern finding itself, you know, with losing the German Bundesliga first time since 11 years to Bayer Leverkusen last weekend. They're angry, you know, they're angry and they are hungry now for the Champions League. They made a fool out of themselves in the German Cup, losing against a third division team. So they are now ready. They are ready for this clash with Arsenal. They are not underestimating Arsenal at all. They have a lot of respect for Arsenal coming to Munich. But it will be a packed house, 70,000. It will be a fantastic atmosphere there, and I think they are, they're just at this moment in time so motivated, so full of energy that they have to prove a point. They have to prove a point to their millions of fans in Germany and all over the world that they are a very, very good team and that they don't want to waste the entire season.
You've got Arsenal. You've changed your mind, I think, after what we saw in the first leg.
What do you mean?
I think when I asked you who was going to go through, I think you said it was like 51-49 Bayern.
Yeah, I did go Bayern, yeah. Yes. Yeah. The narrative sort of swung a little bit, but then the weekend it swung again.
Right.
Neuer's injured. Davies is suspended. Injuries to Coman.
Yeah. Nabry's out.
Nabry, Sané. All out or possibly out.
Well, Tuchel said, didn't he? He said Neuer and Sané will both play tomorrow. So that addresses those, but in that kind of context, so, how long will they be able to play for?
Right. So that just swung me slightly back to Arsenal, even though they had a terrible result
against
at the weekend and did not play well against Bayern at home. That's for sure. Can Bayern do it again? Have they been great at home? No. Think what Dortmund did to them at the Allianz recently, only 2 or 3 weeks ago. It was embarrassing. But Arsenal will need to play a lot better. And it was the injuries to key players that's kind of swung it back round again for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not super confident in Arsenal, particularly after the weekend, but that those injuries to those pacey players, and a couple of them might play, as you said, has just, depending on what Mikel Arteta does with his team selection, and I didn't particularly like his team selection against Villa at the weekend, I've just gone for Arsenal.
He's not going to play the same 11, is he? Well, certainly in the same positions that we saw those players play against Villa.
Again, I'm not a fan of Havertz in the middle of the park. I think he's been much better through the middle in big games. You can play him in the middle of the park for Arsenal when you're playing Burnley and Sheffield United and West Ham and this. But in the big games, Rice and Odegaard have played better with a Partey or a Jorginho particularly in there. And Havertz has looked a better player when he's been up front. Right, where he's been using his physicality, he's been making runs, he's been linking up the play. He's not a great goal scorer, but he's up there doing things that are more natural to him. I didn't like what he did at the weekend, Mikel Arteta, and played all right in the first half, dreadful in the second half. Defend and play like this in the Allianz and you'll get beat. It's quite simple.
It is actually that simple, isn't it?
It is, and when we talk about Arsenal, and it's something that certainly came up on the weekend, and it was part of the conversation, part of the narrative is, well, they don't have an out-and-out striker. You know, the one thing that we know for certain Bayern Munich does have? You mentioned the guys that are absent. We know for certain that they have a goal scorer in Harry Kane. Yeah. We know that. We know that much. We don't know what version of Bayern Munich is going to show up. And I have zero conviction in my pick of Bayern Munich because, let me tell you, I've seen, you talk about inconsistent. We mentioned Borussia Dortmund being inconsistent. Bayern Munich have been just as bad in terms of the inconsistency. But to Jurgen's point, they have nothing else. This is it. This is it. So there's got to be a level of desperation for Bayern Munich in terms of how they approach this game and how they approach Champions League. Otherwise, it is a failure of all sorts of failure in terms of what their season has been.
Luis, this is going to be fine. I'm going to get my punter pyrotechnics out again. This is going to be a brilliant game as well, isn't it?
It's going to be, again, an open game. I think the two fantastic teams, and we are trying to break down who is going to be the winner or trying to find the late score, but anything can happen because both of the teams are going to be, again, open up and try to hurt the other one. The only thing is that the guys I'm mentioning, for Arsenal, they are fighting the two big competitions. The stress, the pressure is quite big on the players. They had that defeat at the weekend, trying to change your mind and get ready for this game, but also for the game at the weekend because you cannot leave Premier League. There is a lot of stuff. And last year, it hurt a lot, Arsenal, in the last part of the season. And I think right now, it's exactly the same. The players, they got a little bit more experience from last year, but not enough to play these kind of moments. And for Bayern Munich, they've been there so many times. They know how this is done. And this is the last chance. This is the last opportunity for them to make a good season. And I think that playing at home is going to make a massive move for the players.
Luis, thank you very much. Atleti Barcelona going out. Things can get worse. It's going to be an extra time a little bit later.
Yay!
Jurgen, are you working tomorrow with us as well?
Yeah, because I want to celebrate that win of Bayern Munich tomorrow with you guys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Do you want to hear the most
important 2 days in a row?
Harry Kane scoring against Arsenal.
Do you know the most important thing
Harry
now?
Harry Kane against Arsenal.
Do you know the most important thing for Arsenal now?
What, Craig Burley?
They have to win the Champions League to get into the Club World Cup in 2025. I mean, if that doesn't drive you to victory, I don't know what will. Such importance.
Somebody who hates this competition, you know the intricacies of it quite
Yes,
quite impressive.
You're in it to win it.
If they don't get in it, Salzburg are going to get in it. Let that sink in.
Loving it, Craig. Been a busy boy. Just a reminder then, the Bundesliga continues. Despite the fact Bayer Leverkusen are champions, they're looking to be the first team ever unbeaten throughout a whole season in Germany. They take on Borussia Dortmund on Sunday. As promised, Luis is here, Ali and Craig as well, to answer your questions on extra time. We talk about Stevie's cholesterol.
That's high.
Yes.
High.
Yeah. Check it out on YouTube.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
And breathe.
So both those games are 0-0 tomorrow.
What games? Why? It would be exciting. It's going to be great tomorrow. I can't wait. Looking forward to coming to work, skipping to work. Goodbye. Welcome
welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you for it. Look at Louis, still smiling.
Surely,
despite his terrible day.
It's not terrible.
A terrible week, really.
Surely, in the name of Spanish football,
yes,
Luis wants Real Madrid to go through.
You don't really want Real Madrid to go through, do you, Luis? No. No, there you go.
No. Put it behind you.
Don't make me say it. I've been with Luis at the Bernabeu when he's just had so much abuse from everyone. So why would you want them to be happy?
Abuse is good.
Oh, yes, I know. It was like people thrive on
take that very seriously.
Abuse is good. I mean, it's like a badge of honour when you're getting abuse.
Yeah, I know.
You have many badges.
The more the better. It's like a military order, a military list of
just badges, mainly from his home.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. What do you mean?
Luis, are you more disappointed by Atleti or Barca?
I'm more disappointed by Atleti, to be honest. Again, I'm disappointed by Barcelona, but the way it happened, I think that they did what they could more than what they wanted to do. And I'm more disappointed with Atleti because I think that going there to Dortmund, even though they did a fantastic job, Dortmund, I think they have played a great game today. I think Atleti could have done a lot better. I think that the way they approach again the game, sitting down at the back and waiting for Dortmund to beat them up, I think, is not what I want from this Atletico Madrid. When they show up again, when they needed to get another goal, we saw a very good Atletico Madrid, again pushing forward, being intense in the last third, and at the end, grabbing those two goals. But I was disappointed, to be honest. I thought that Atletico Madrid was going to going through.
Why do people feel the need?
Yes, Craig Burley.
I saw Jan and Derek in particular, but there have been others.
Right.
Why do people feel the need that when Dortmund does well and potentially Bayern and PSG from the French league, why do people feel the need to come out and say, see, it's not as bad as you say?
I suppose they're just small fish in a big pond that's not...
No, but that's telling me. Stop having conversation with your plastic friends on Twitter.
Your plastic friends?
The people on Twitter... It's like... Because that's what they say on social media, isn't it?
Farmers League.
Farmers League, yes. Not good enough, yes. This, that. And yes. So when you spend too much time on platforms like this, that's what you react to these people.
Oh, that's fair enough.
Yeah. Why do they feel the need to
do it? Maybe you should have a conversation with them, not us. Yeah. I don't tweet out when Cornish teams do.
Jan and Derek were like, get a life, come on.
Oh, well, okay.
Sitting on Twitter all day talking to your friends.
But you must be sitting on Twitter reading them on Twitter.
I just read, yeah. I don't interact with them.
Who do you interact with?
Not a lot of people.
Okay.
The dogs, we learn.
Yeah.
The dogs.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Ah, oh, see, not a Farmers League now. Oh, blah, blah, blah. They're boring. Get a life.
Is that how you yawn?
I don't know. No, I was hurting myself. I've seen if my teeth are still there.
Well, yeah. Was it a mistake by Xavi calling PSG favourites even after winning away? It must have given PSG self-confidence and made Barca play like underdogs at home from the start.
Why are we putting crap with this?
Well, what he said.
I'm giving up. I'm losing the will to live here.
Luis, what do you think? Xavi saying that Barca were favourites, did that make any difference today? PSG are favourites?
No, I don't think that is giving anything to Paris Saint-Germain. I don't think that Paris Saint-Germain arrived today and say, oh, wow, the Xavi gave us, told us that we are favourites. I think the Xavi was trying to put the pressure out of the players, trying to, those kind of mind games that they're, I mean, in the end, every single day, the managers of these teams are doing press conference. They need to find a way to say things without saying anything. And Xavi decided to say that they are favorites because they didn't want to put a spoiler on their players. So nothing much to say. It's all about trying to play those mind games before the game.
Do you know what questions tell you?
Craig.
One second. Do you know what questions tell you?
Sorry, Luis, I know it's late.
I don't.
1 o'clock in the morning, isn't it, Madrid?
Am I in Spain? No. You can always tell when the boss is back from his vacation.
Oh, well, there you go. Maybe he didn't choose the questions today.
He always chooses bad questions.
Oh, there we go. I've been told he didn't choose the questions today. So, here we go. Right.
I don't have my doubts about that.
Araujo being such a senior player of the team, fans call him the leader of the defence, Craig, and him making the decision cost the entire team. What could he have done differently?
Oh, well.
Is this... Well, straight in at number 10. What date is it today?
What? 16th?
I don't know.
16th of April.
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday, 16th of April, we're gone. And at number 10, bad question day.
Oh.
What do you mean, what could he have done different?
Well, what should he have done?
You really want me to answer that? What should I have done?
We talked about this, didn't we, Luis? You didn't have a chance to give us your opinion. Would you have taken off Lewandowski or Rafinha instead of Yamin Lamar?
I would have taken Pedri instead of Rafinha or Lewandowski. I think that Pedri wasn't at the level that he needs to be to play a game like this one. I was watching in the whole game until he was changed, and he didn't have the rhythm, he didn't have the intensity to play a game like this one. There were transitions are going to be very, very quick when you need a player. If the intention of keeping Rafinha, it was because of the work rate and having Lamine Yamal getting out and keeping Pedri into the middle of the park just to have a little bit of possession, I can understand that. But what you needed when you are with a man down, I think, is legs. People who can run. I mean, we are talking that you can change maybe Fermin, so he's good with the ball. He can give you also a little bit of balance out there, but he's going to give you less to go up and down and maybe get a good transition. So I would have changed Pedri instead.
Yeah, Lamine Yamal was the easy choice.
Because he's the young one.
Correct, but not the correct choice. And we were saying it as we were watching the game. You lose an outlet. And if you're going to defend for a long period of time, as Barcelona were going to do, given the fact that they were playing a man down, you need an outlet. Lewandowski is not the outlet. If Rafinha is going to work underneath and going to give you all the work rate, then where is the outlet? And the truth of the matter is Barcelona did not have an outlet and couldn't get out.
Is Lewandowski gone next season? His 87th miss was shocking.
It wasn't like a golden opportunity, was it?
You mean the shot that he takes at the top of the 18-yard
line? He takes a shot when he should have let it off.
I think if you're going to if you're going to point Lewandowski out for a few things today, is the fact that we just mentioned you're under pressure, you're putting a lot of numbers behind the ball. Eventually, that ball is going to come to you as you try to relieve some of that pressure. You got to hang on to the ball, and Lewandowski didn't do a very good job with playing with the hold up play and playing with his back to goal. He was getting dominated by the center back of PSG. Beyond that, later on in the game, there's an opportunity to lay it off to Ferran Torres. Or the true free runners that were going on down the middle. Instead, he tries to go for a shot himself. That one you can point out. The shot from the top of the 18-yard box, he hits well, but Donnarumma comes up with a save.
Even though Mbappe and Dembele were the ones who got the goals, could it be argued, Luis, that Barcola had the best game and was the biggest difference maker?
Yes, I think he did that good job. For me, I think the different maker was Vitinha. I think that the 24 years old kid is amazing. I mean, he keeps the tempo. The first ball is just dancing in front of Gundogan from one side to the other side, and he decided to give the ball to Barcola, and he crossed the ball, and then he scored in the second one. But every single time that Paris Saint-Germain needed to have a rest, needed to have a little bit of time to build again the game, Vitinha was right there to receive the ball, to open the game, to accompany the team in the second line. I think he was amazing. He's a very small guy, but very quick, very clever. His football intelligence is fantastic. So, yeah, for me, I think he was the man of the match tonight. He scored a goal, he assisted in that occasion, and he was then the main man in the middle of the park.
How did Dortmund, Craig, manage to fluctuate so much between performances? Who would be the favourite for each of the finals between them and PSG?
PSG.
What percent would you give?
It's late in Spain.
It's late in Spain, yes, but we didn't care about that 10 minutes ago. Well, just because you've had enough.
But it's 10 minutes.
Just because you've had enough. You've turned the page on this whole show.
I've long advocated for this segment to be binge, you know. No, it's 10 minutes on.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean percentage? That's done.
Okay, fine, good. That's enough for you.
Extra time.
What's your perspective on the current job security of Simeone, Luis?
Job security? Well, I don't understand the question. Can you ask it in a different way?
Is he going to get sacked soon?
Where's Solari?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that the arrangement between the Atletico Madrid and Simeone is that if he arrives to the Champions League for the year after, I think he's continuing on in charge. So I'm not expecting Simeone to leave this year at all. I think he could have been sacked or left the club a couple of years back, and he's been renewed, and I think he's got one or even one plus one years contract. So I don't expect Leo Simeone to leave, because I think that Atletico Madrid is going to stay in the Champions League for next season.
Luis, you get to go to bed now. Craig, hey. You get to go wherever you need to go, yeah. Dark room somewhere.
Yeah.
A lot of badges.
we'll be back with you tomorrow to reflect on those two brilliant good matches, aren't they, Craig? Manchester City, Real Madrid, Arsenal, Bayern Munich. Oh, can't wait.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.